off the market. Oil will go up.
Fox's Brenda Butner. A week after a grisly tour bus accident in New York, the state decided to do surprise inspections of other tour buses.
14 tour buses pulled over at a checkpoint in Manhattan. 100% of them, all 14, pulled out of service with safety violations or problems with the driver's records. Police issuing 54 criminal summonses. The checkpoint was set up in response to a casino bus crash last week. 15 passengers died. That driver had violations under an alias and a suspended license under another name. In New York, Chris Foster, Fox News Radio.
A substance found floating in the Gulf of Mexico appears to be weathered oil. That's the description from a Louisiana fire chief. Grand Isle Fire Chief Aubrey Chassian says the substance looks like emulsified oil, meaning that it wasn't fresh but had been out there for a while. The sheen's covering a 2 or 3 mile square area. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
Hello, this is William Michael with Carver Minds Radio. Hey, Roy, do we have a good show for you tonight? Another average Joe show, that's for sure. And with that said, what we'd like to do first off, we'd like to thank all of our sponsors and all of those who donated to help this show become what it is today. And first, I will touch base advanced soil stabilization using Technisoil for dust control on roads, driveways, and parking lots. And also, they install Crestone driveways. You can call Todd Sykes for more information at 530-549-4801. And advanced soil is green friendly, ladies and gentlemen, which is good in today's day and age. It eliminates dust. And we also have
Team Quest.
Team Quest, yes.
We have Carlos down there teaching everybody how to whoop up. Give him a call, 646-7346. He will get you on the right program that worked for you guys. And, yeah, all I'd like to say is it's just a great school, and they've proven themselves time again. They'll go to tournaments, and they'll win. A lot of people will win. So get down there, see what you guys can come up with.
Yeah, definitely. Team Quest is one of them things that I would send my kids to and everything. Unfortunately, they're in their 30s and stuff now. So, but I think it'd be good
that's okay.
All the way around.
Hey, no, I've had a lot of older people come in there, too, start
really?
Training. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good to know. That's
yeah,
it. So
everybody,
all you people.
All ages.
Everybody, that's what I like to hear, all ages. So get on out there. Get some experience and get some confidence going there. Well, today, as we said, it's an Average Joe show. And we want you to call in if you have any questions or anything at 530-605-4567. And I'll say that again one more time, 530-605-4567.
Also, check us out on chat, www.kcnr1460.com. And we can get in there. You guys can chat if you guys don't like to get on air.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people like to listen to us. They don't like to call in, but that's fine. At least we know we're getting through. And today's news, we want to talk about Japan a little bit here. Boy, these people are getting hit with everything. They've got radiation in their spinach and their milk. And that landmass of that peninsula moved 17 feet in one direction and sunk 4 more feet. Now, think about that, ladies and gentlemen. That is massive. And our planet is going through a lot of chaos with these earthquakes. It seems that they've really increased a lot. And we'll probably have a guest caller call in here, and we'll let that be a surprise for you, unless Nate wants to tell you now.
Well, yeah, I mean, why not? His name is Jim Berklin, and he was just on Coast to Coast on Friday.
Great guy.
And then he was also on Neil Cavuto's show, like, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Reason why they had him on, he predicted the World Series earthquake.
1989.
And so he's basically a geologist, and he's got to see the signs that we are seeing now, and like the fish that are dying down in L.A. area.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things going on. We'll talk about it with him, but yeah, we have him on. He'll be coming on in about 10 minutes, so that's awesome.
Gives us time to do our news threads. Yeah. This guy's pretty good, though. You know, he graduated at the University of California, Berkeley, earning a BA in 1958. I mean, he's a geologist. He's had a lot of experience. And unfortunately, he got I guess it was suspended during a period of time when he predicted an earthquake on government time. That was the earthquake that Nate was just talking about. And with that said, we'd like to talk on the Libya situation a little bit. I mean, we hit one of his palaces here, and we haven't heard from him yet. Maybe they got him. I mean, they said that we weren't going to shoot, you know, for him, but it's obviously two cruise missiles. Somebody was thinking otherwise.
Well, it's just, I mean, so the UN, why are we spearheading it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What? I don't like this at all. We had our special ops in there disrupting that country for a long time, and now that we want to, now we want to back the rebels.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. It's kind of, but okay, so we're just all ready to shoot our Tomahawks over there. I mean, and then France is shooting down airplanes. It's getting bad to me. I was just talking about it with my friend. Like, I'm getting a bad feeling in my stomach about this one. Like,
we all are.
I think the war is really starting now.
I think World War III is on its way.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
I mean, we're intervening now. UN resolutions, they're calling the shots now, and we're just doing the dirty work.
Yeah, you know, that's something very interesting to look at out there, ladies and gentlemen. And if you've got a viewpoint on that, about this escalation in the Middle East and the possibility of this being the beginning, since 9/11, I believe, of the World War III echelon, shall we say, please call in, let us know, 530-605-4567. And Japan's power plant station, they got six of them out there. They're still having problems, but with the number three, it seems like they're getting a hand on it a little bit. Radiation has reached California coast, but not in high doses. And I just want to say something real quick here. This iodine shortage. I mean, I know I've went and looked for it. I know Nate's went and looked for it. And everybody I know has looked for it. Thank God we had some stored up for quite a while. Just one of our little survival, be ready just in case things. I advise you all go do that.
Let this be a warning to everybody, because now everybody wants it and it's not there. What about food?
Yeah.
And things like this, water. What happens when, okay, I'm going to go, I need this now, and then it's not there?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the prime example of something, that could be minuscule, thank God. But, I mean, still, the jury's not out on our danger to this radiation.
Right, I agree.
I mean, there's a lot. There's 27 signs that this crisis in Japan is much worse than Japan government's letting us tell or letting on to us.
Yeah.
And a few of them are just like the German embassy is telling their people to leave the country totally. French embassy, get out of there.
U.S.
Yeah, Austrian. Yeah, everybody's telling everybody to leave. They're saying it's like 10 times worse than normal in Tokyo, 33 times worse.
Well, even when
other
prime
countries,
minister,
or I mean other little.
When the prime minister turns around and says straight out that he is really upset at this this company that has us going, he wasn't even told the truth what's going on. There's obviously, and I agree with Nate 1,000%, we have a bigger problem here than we think.
Well, at first, wasn't it, the building didn't, nothing happened. It didn't blow up. It just, it collapsed on itself. Okay, and then next, no radiation leak got out. Next, okay, there's a little bit of radiation.
I mean, come on.
It just keeps getting worse. And
I mean, they got to get real here. Something's definitely happening over there. And I say, this is one thing Sovereign Minds has always said, and I've said, you know, in the conferences that I've done and the talks, everybody, we need to go back to the way it was in the old days and prepare. You know, everybody in the old days prepared for that hard winter that you could possibly get. And now we're preparing for a special kind of winter. A winter that could happen in the summer that man is causing. You know, we have this radioactive thing. The Middle East is cooking off. And not just part of it. You know, we're talking the entire Middle East. And now Africa's getting into it. We've got some serious problems brewing here. And I'm not, you know, the world is going to come to an end. I'm not saying that. What we are saying from Sovereign Minds is be prepared. Get yourself together. Get your house in order. And definitely. And with that said, Nate, is there anything else you want to add on to
that? Yeah, just, Africa, Egypt. I mean, Egypt is Africa. Tennessee, Libya. I mean,
Chad.
All this right up here. These are dictators that we supported for 30, 40 years. We bought off, paid off, and now we want to just overthrow them because the people are getting sick of these governments because they know that they're bought and paid for by these elites.
That's right.
So now that they see that we're waking up. They want to pretend like they're with us, the rebels, you know.
Well, you noticed before we went into Libya, the president was kind of back off his chair at first. He was like, well, I don't know. Let's see what way this goes, you know.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, blam, he goes another way. But Nate's right. We did back up these regimes for a long, long period of time. But there's another thing. The United States has been after Libya and Omar Gaddafi for quite a while because of the terrorist activity he did. I was asked today, do I think that he's going to use WMDs, weapons of mass destruction, chemical agents and everything? I believe that that's a high possibility unless they get those things ahead of time. That's typical tomahawk strike. They can take that out.
Well, what do you do when another country wants to come to your country and drop bombs or impose no-fly zones?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we somehow got this in our heads that we're the world police now, when we need to just sit back and just run our own country. Look at our own country's falling apart internally.
Yeah.
We have a lot that we need to take care of. We need to get our boys back home to not fight this illegal war. From what I recall, I think Congress has to declare war.
Well, Congress has to declare war, but what happened
them
here in
now,
Libya, they didn't do
in
that.
Libya, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I don't remember.
You know, we just jumped straight to NATO and bam, we're in there.
And then we look at Afghanistan, they declare war and then they don't fund it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then Iraq, I mean, I don't even know what's up with Iraq. I mean,
yeah, well, Iraq is just sitting on that hot plate waiting, you know, basically. That's what I see. Because the thing in Afghanistan, you know, I believe that we're looking for somebody in Afghanistan that isn't there personally, you know.
What, you mean an ex-CIA agent named Osama bin Laden?
Oh, gosh, you guessed it.
He worked for us. We trained him. You don't think he's still... If you go
we
look
trained
at,
him well.
If you go look at the FBI top 10 list, he's on there, and he's not for 9/11.
No, it's not. Not at all.
So that's weird. And then
I
guess he was asked. He was asked, too. Why? Why isn't he on there for 9/11? And said, because they don't have the evidence that he did it.
That's right. You know who got rid of the evidence?
Yeah, we all know who got rid of it. Like just like General Gates. He was at CIA before he became in. So our whole government or military...
All CIA people.
CIA.
Yeah, you know, look at President Bush Senior, you know, the head of the CIA at that time. I mean, so we can go a long way there. And, you know, I was talking to somebody another thing about the government, about the Martin Luther King thing. Chandler, our producer here, we were talking about this over the last week and everything. You know, and that was James Earl Ray. Oh, they assassinated him. Well, they've already proven that he didn't do that. You know, I mean, the family, everybody, our condolences go out to them. But there was a lot going on there with Jesse Jackson. Other things of that nature, too. You know, on June 10th, 1968, Ray was arrested in London. He was an escaped prisoner from a penitentiary. I'm sure that he's going to run right out and try to assassinate somebody if he's hiding from the law anyway. You know, there was a lot of other things going on there. So, you know, we can even touch base on pretty much anything in the United States, all government-sponsored, you know, things of that nature. So we got to be careful there. And with that said, in these earthquakes in Japan... We can turn around, and I want to look at that a little bit.
The Ring of Fire, if anybody doesn't know
cooking.
It. Like, Google, just Google the Ring of Fire.
Yeah.
And just go check out what that...
Everybody needs to really look at what
details.
The intensity of the earthquakes that have been happening around the world right now.
Yeah, and this is... I mean, there's a pattern. And there's a pattern. And that's what the Ring of Fire is about. And Ring of Fire, every country that's in it, has experienced a catastrophic earthquake in the past 50 years, but us. Okay, we can say...
we're going to get it.
Well, we can say San Francisco, but that wasn't even 9.0 status.
Mm-hmm.
So, we actually now have the expert online that can tell us all about the Ring of Fire.
Definitely.
And about
good.
These earthquakes.
He's good. I followed him for years. Jim, you there?
I sure am.
Hey.
It's all done.
How you doing, buddy?
Could hardly be better, considering I had a stroke a month ago.
Oh, well, we're glad you're doing better. I'm glad you're with
me
us.
Me too.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you say about all this that's happening right here?
Well, it's really an amazing time, very similar to that which just preceded the World Series earthquake in 89.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that time we had the highest tidal force in 3 years on the 14th of October, 89. And it was... 4 hours away from the closest approach of the moon in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday we had the closest approach of the moon in about 18 years, and it won't be so close again until November of 2016. And when it happens on the not only the same day as a newer full moon. Yesterday, it was within an hour of the full moon.
Yes.
And interestingly, they called it the worm moon, you know, like a hunter's moon and a harvest moon. This is the worm moon.
Why?
And the people, I got a message from near Seattle that a couple of days ago, there were earthworms wiggling all around the surface, and that was rather unusual.
Yeah. That sounds very interesting there. Now, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, you made a prediction on the Loma Prieta quake. And,
yes.
And did you get suspended for that?
Yes, indeed. It was a kind of a delayed reaction when I had predicted to the Gilbert Dispatch that there would be a World Series quake between the 14th and 21st of October, based on many, many factors, not just the tides. We had rare whales beaching themselves in San Francisco and Santa Cruz, and it hasn't happened before or since.
Yeah, I remember that.
We had homing pigeons getting lost. The top racer in the Bay Area was Roving Gal, and she flew right over the owner's shoulder and took off the night before the quake.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come back for a week, and she looked. She was lost weight, and she was dirty and tired. So that's a couple of things. The hot springs at Gilroy had slowed down and cooled down before that quake,
mm-hmm.
just as it had done before the 1906 quake, the 1952 Bakersfield quake at Tejon,
mm-hmm.
in the Ridge Route. And they had, also in 1979, we had the strongest quake since 1916 in the Bay Area, and that was the Gilroy's quake of 5.9, and the Gilroy Hot Springs had slowed down and cooled down, and then did the same thing in 1984, when it had a 6.2 south of San Jose, which I had predicted to many, many different organizations,
mm-hmm.
that March, April, or October was the time for the next six, and we got a 6.2, and the geyser, springs had slowed down and cooled down. So they were doing it again in October of 89. So and also we had the most missing pets in the lost and found column of Mercury News.
Yeah.
Instead of seeing four or five missing cats, there were 26. And
wow.
Instead of about 20 missing dog ads, there were 58. So you put all those together, and I had called the Gilroy Dispatch 4 days before the quake actually occurred, and so they said there'd be a World Series quake, and I was 85% confident we'd have a 6.5 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit right on the money. And, of course, my critics have said, it was just luck. Just luck.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I mean, we had recently the big quake in Japan,
mm-hmm.
was a 9.0, and it was 4 days after the new moon. To find the previous 9 magnitude quakes, you go back to day after Christmas in 2004, and that was the Indian Ocean quake on the day of the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And before then, the last 9 magnitude quake around the world was in southern Alaska on March 27, 1964, on the day of the full moon. I mean, there seems to be a little pattern here.
Yeah, I remember that one. That was a big one.
Yes, it was a 9.2.
Mm-hmm.
So are you drawing any parallels? Do you see any evidence now that you maybe have seen in the past?
For California?
Yeah. Huh? Do you what do you see coming? I mean, because I know you made a prediction. I heard you on Coast to Coast, and I saw you on the Neil Cavuto show.
Yes, we follow you.
So what kind of predictions do you have for us these days?
See, it can vary from time to time. In 1989... I knew in January and sent to all of my newsletter subscribers that October 14 to 21 was a time I expected a major quake somewhere around the Ring of Fire where most large earthquakes occur.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, in January of 89, I had no suspicion that I was going to become part of that earthquake because I didn't know what the animals in the springs and the pigeons and dreamers and my magnetic field changes and many, many other things that you compile. The tides from the sun and moon can tell you approximately when, but they cannot tell you where and how big. So then you must resort to patterns of small quakes, how the geyser in Napa Valley reacts, if there are magnetic field changes, whales beaching themselves, missing pets, and there are about 10 things that you can use to add to the confidence about the tidal forces. Now, on the moon itself, when the astronauts left seismographs in 1969 and the next few years,
mm-hmm.
we learned for the first time there are moonquakes.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, most of them occur within a day of perigee, the once in a month every 27 and a half days when the moon is closest to the Earth. So I don't think there's any question from even my severest critics that the moon's gravity can trigger, the Earth's gravity can trigger moonquakes. So when I turned that around and said, what about the moon's gravity triggering earthquakes, then I get all poo-pooed and all that. It's impossible because we have these black boxes that this tells us there's nothing to it. Well, there's plenty to it, and of course the moon has no active volcanoes. No, we don't think there's a liquid core. I've heard some controversy about that.
Mm-hmm.
But no moving, plates, no plate tectonics. So it's surprising to me that the Earth's gravity can trigger moonquakes, but they've been up to about 5 magnitude, is the strongest they recorded.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Uh-huh, but most of them are much smaller. And so I'm just looking here at the thing I just pulled up, Panda Sense China Quake Coming. And turns out that the seismic window for May 4th to 11th, 2008, the quake in China was on the last day of that window. Well, mm-hmm. that counts, 8-day window, and they hit about a 7.8 quake. And you may have remembered, a strange thing happened a few days before that big quake. Not only the pandas were getting very restless, but there was a sudden outpouring of hundreds of frogs jumping across the streets near the epicenter.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Was just coincidental.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many clues out there about quakes. Now, as to our own concern about Northern California, since the numbers of wild animals, I haven't heard of any coyotes coming into town and bears coming into Glen Ellen and that sort of thing as occurred in the past, I really do not have any high concern about a strong quake in the Bay Area. I would expect maybe a 4 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
We just had today a 3.5 and a 3.3 at the geysers,
yep.
And those are the first two quakes of over 3 magnitude up there in the last month or so. But more concern is what's going on in Southern California, and I don't know if you're aware of it, but we had this massive fish kill at the beach there off San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, off Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, yeah.
Yeah. Like a million small fish, catchable fish, washed up around the beach and died and became a pretty thick thing to handle with the boats. They couldn't even get out of the harbor.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of fish fertilizer at this point.
yeah.
And we were told that they were chased in by some predator, like a shark scared them in.
No,
that
I don't
think so.
That
doesn't sound likely to me.
No. Uh-uh.
And then in San Diego, in the last couple of days, it had one of the, about the highest total I've heard of missing pets at the animal shelters.
Mm-hmm.
They normally have around 70, and now they had 144 a couple of days ago. And then about 4 days ago, off the coast of San Diego, the whale-watching party got out there and just totally excited because they were able to see a whole herd of sperm whales, which almost never come in shore, close to shore.
Yeah.
We get, the gray whales and the...
Something's happening.
The Humphrey, the humpback whale. So that was a little unusual also. And then you can see what happened in last December on Malibu Beach.
Mm-hmm.
A very strange deep-sea fish showed up that can be 30 feet long or so.
Yeah.
This one was 12 feet long and is called an earthquake fish by the Japanese.
Yeah, Nate was talking about
that. And there were a bunch
that.
Of them that were netted and seen on the beaches around Japan, and there was... If you go to look at the internet, or you can see about the earthquake fish, and the general concern that it might mean a big earthquake is coming. Well, what does it mean when it came up to Malibu Beach? We don't know yet.
You know, I've followed the your predictions for a long time and everything. You really got me going when you predicted the Loma Prieta earthquake. I lived in Santa Cruz for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And, so
Santa Cruz was really hurt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It just tore down the Pacific Avenue Mall and everything down there. We got about 1 minute before we go into a commercial break and everything. When we come back from this commercial break, I'd like you to talk about this area in Southern California and what's really going on in that area. Because I believe if something moves down that area, you know, there could be a chain reaction heading up north. And, of course, you're the expert, jealous. You would know more about that. So we're going to go into commercial right now, real quick, and we'll get back with you on that as soon as we get back.
We'll overcome, so stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Stand up,
stand up.
We shall not be moved, except by a woman dying from a loss of food. If you've got more to give, then you've got to.
Have you been thinking about installing solar power system for your home or office? Maybe you looked into solar power a couple of years ago and thought it was way too expensive. Hi, I'm Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables, and I have great news. The cost of a solar power system has dropped dramatically in the last 2 years, and the federal tax credits have increased to 30% of the cost of a system. Now is a great time to give solar a closer look. The news is full of warnings about the cost of energy going up soon, and the best way to keep your cost of energy cheap and stable is installing solar power. If you talk to us, we answer all of your questions, explain how solar works, and how it will affect your monthly bill. For a free in-home consultation, please give us a call, 524-9652, or email Dennis at westcoastsustainables.com.
Hi, this is Robert from Music by Robert. I've done over 1,000 events from weddings to birthdays to anniversaries right here in the North State. Hey, what's a party without your favorite music? Let me tailor a special event for you by being the MC that everyone will talk about. Why? Because it's Music by Robert. Call me at 347-4500 and let's celebrate. That's Music by Robert. Call 347-4500.
This is Carl Bott. I'm with Chef John Spadelli right here at Anselmo Vineyards. I'm back in the kitchen.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, you know, I love it here. What's on the menu for today?
Today we're rolling out some special raviolis for Grandma Velia.
Beef, raviolis, salad, fish. You know, if you go to Anselmo's, it's going to be a superb meal.
Always made fresh with a ton of passion.
Well, that's why we like dining there.
Anselmo Vineyards, just a short drive from Palisadro. Anselmo Vineyards, it will become your favorite destination getaway.
You better get up, you better get out, you better get up and turn your life around. You only live once, you better act now, cause you never know when it's gonna come back around. Yeah, a heart like a lion.
Hello, this is White Crow, William White Crow, and Nathan Chandler here, our producer, and you just gotta love that bumper music, you know, it's just really good stuff. And we're here today with Jim Birkeland. And we just asked him a question before the commercial came up about the Southern California area and what's going on and with it and what's coming towards us. Jim?
Well, the seismic window, a term I concocted in January 8th of 1974 when we had extremely high tides, much stronger than we're having right now, on the 8th of January, and I wondered, it just flashed on my mind that perhaps these extremely high tides in the sea might cause a reaction in the solid earth itself, and I wonder if the earthquakes might be related. And I looked quickly at my day book of the previous quakes we'd had the previous about 4 months, and 6 out of 6 of those quakes occurred at the time of the new or full moon.
Wow.
And so I created the term seismic window, made a prediction that we would have a 4 to 5 magnitude quake within a week of those extreme tides, and 2 days later a 4.4 hit down by south of San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, this is really simple to predict. Earthquakes, let's see, in February it was almost as good, and we had another quake then. Now, with 6 out of 8 correct for the year of as 1974, and I've continued to predict at the rate of 75 to 80% correct since that year. And everything seemed to be just golden there until 1989. And I had known that these huge tides were developed, the strongest in 3 years, that would occur with the 14th of October of 89. And at that time, I said there's very likely to be a major quake of 7 or greater around the Ring of Fire, and not anticipating that I would become part of it. But then as all the animals disappeared and the whales beached themselves and all these other half a dozen other six, about more like 10 different clues were out there, mm-hmm. then I said, it looks like it's bigger than I had thought. And I was in the county building on the 7th floor. I just picked up the phone to call the Berkeley Seismographic Station to see if there had been any foreshocks I should know about when the main quake hit. And I thought I was gone. I thought the whole building. I could hardly stand, hanging on the counter, and the cabinets were dropping. My rock collection and my whole library covered my floor of my office. Mm-hmm. And I had to wait for a couple of minutes for the shaking of the building got to a level where I could go down the stairs. And all the people stuck in the elevators, which I would have been in another 30 seconds after the phone call, they were stuck for a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And so there was general power failure, and the traffic lights were out and all this. But luckily, our home had no real problem. We lost a couple of feet of water off the over the swimming pool and ended up in the neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
But that was the least of the problems, and we had no real damage, contrary to what happened up in Oakland and San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah, and Santa Cruz.
Yes, and Santa Cruz for sure.
Yeah, we got hit pretty heavy there.
Absolutely.
When I walked down Pacific Avenue Mall and everything, right down there at the intersection where they have the new clock and everything, I lived in that town off and on off all my life between the Indian Reservation and there, and the Pacific Avenue Mall was basically gone. All the structures we knew.
Incredible. Now, there was a previous Loma Prieta quake back in 1865,
yeah,
which damaged Santa Cruz and San Jose, and did a lot of damage in the field ground of San Francisco, where a young reporter named Mark Twain experienced it.
Oh yeah,
that one was identical to the 1989 quake, because both of them occurred in the month of October, at a time when the moon was very close to the Earth at the same time as the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, it was October 8th of 1865. And so they had identical epicenter, identical, almost identical magnitude. It was considered 6.5 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
And identical kind of damage. So one would say it's just coincidental. Well, I've so outlived coincidence that I wonder if anything is coincidental anymore.
I agree.
Hey, Jim, we have a question in chat. People want to know how far, if anywhere south of L.A. would be safe. The San Andreas Fault, where does that run? Does that run through Mexico?
It certainly runs down past the Salton Sea,
yes,
in the Imperial Valley. And there's some question about just how far below that it occurs. I'm convinced it occurs clear down to
Chile,
down the Gulf of California to the East Pacific Rise south of Baja.
Yeah.
And that, because you can see where the volcanic action is to the east. And all the way down to South America, you have a whole line of Andes earthquakes. I mean, volcanic action.
Right.
And out to sea, you see this deep trench of the East Pacific Rise, where the rocks are going under subduction, mm-hmm, from the Pacific Plate down underneath the Americas Plate. And, of course, then you get to the San Andreas Fault and its relatives. There is no subduction going, and you don't find any active volcanoes mm-hmm, north of that part of Mexico either. And you have to go clear up to Mount Lassen to see the next active volcano, and all that duration in between, you'll find the San Andreas Fault, which is only strike slip, and cannot possibly produce tsunamis, because a tsunami requires up and down motion on the ocean floor. It's
right.
Not much like if you have a dishpan full of water, and you have a big plate in the bottom, you pick it up by the edge and pull it out, no problem. But if you pick it up straight up, then the basin spills out in all directions.
That's true, and it's hard to get that sucker off the bottom of the pan, too.
Yeah.
The suction, you know. No, but yeah. You know, this Southern California area has always interested me because I live down in the Indian reservations down in that area. And then we had that big earthquake on the border area.
7.2.
Massive, big
one. And that was in the seismic window.
Mm-hmm.
And then this last year, there was, I think, a 5.8 down there.
Yeah.
Just north of the border.
Mm-hmm.
That whole area is under suspicion by me right now because of, let me see, how much did we recount? We talked about the whales,
mm-hmm.
and then we had this earthquake fish last December, and usually it occurs a few months before a giant earthquake, which is what the Japanese have anticipated.
The pandas, aren't the pandas acting weird?
Oh, yeah. That handler, for the first time in history, the San Diego Zoo recorded a bit person from nice, gentle panda. This is the type of thing. In China, before the big earthquakes, they said the pigs were biting themselves. The snakes were crawling out of their holes where they'd been hiding for during the winter.
Yeah, it seems like
and
everything
comes in. February 3rd, our time of 1975, the Chinese actually evacuated the whole city of Haicheng a few hours before the 7.3 quake destroyed the city.
Mm-hmm.
And that was based largely upon strange animal behavior, small earthquakes, H2S gas in some of the wells, and there were many, many clues that caused that drastic action. So a number of my critics have said, okay, Jim, that maybe they predicted that quake, but it was just chance. What about the next year when they had the terrible Tang Shan quake with like 650,000 people killed?
Yeah.
And nobody warned them. Well, people are ignoring the fact that the Gang of Four had taken over the government of China during that interval. They had abandoned their 100,000 member tourist, not tourist, but peasant, the peasant notification system that had told them about the previous quake. They weren't in action anymore. And the scientists that had been working on this were suddenly ordered to do meaningful work like harvesting rice. So they were not ready for the Tang Shan quake. They should have, because the Haicheng quake was in the seismic window February the 3rd of 1975. And then the Tang Shan quake was on the new moon of 1976 on 27th of June.
Mm-hmm.
7th of July it was.
Okay.
So anyway, it might have been predicted, as they could have predicted the Alaskan Great Earthquake and Tsunami, which occurred on March the 27th of 1964 on the day of the full moon. And the next big tsunami and 9 magnitude quake was in day after Christmas on 2004, December 26th. On the day of the full moon. I mean, some of this one would think would be observed by my scientific colleagues, but they all say it's all astrological nonsense.
Speaking of information that people won't talk about, have you, I'm sure your studies have brought you to the HARP machine. Have you?
Yes.
What do you think?
Do you think possibly involvement or anything?
Other aspects of that. I was signing off building permits as a county geologist on February, just before Christmas. And suddenly, all the power failed on the West Coast, all the way down to Las Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And I told the people, don't worry, because the lights were out, but I could still see, because I had this emergency equipment in my valise, and it was a light stick. Well, unfortunately, as I went to get the light stick, I suddenly realized that I had just used that as a demonstration at a meeting on earthquake safety.
Okay.
So we had no light. And all these people that were desperate to get their building permit signed before the end of the week were all out of luck. And we couldn't use the elevators. We all had to go down the stairs and found that all the traffic lights were not operating. And it was a bad situation. With that quake, but it could have been a lot worse than it was. And one of the reasons it could have been worse is because a lot of people are already going home.
Yeah.
And they were going to watch that World Series, as I was planning to do, though I was still feeling very noble about being in the office at about 3 minutes after 5, and then calling the U.S., calling Berkeley Seismographic Station to see if there was a foreshock, and just as I completed the call, came the quake.
Oh, fantastic.
So it was the only quake in my 80 years that ever frightened me. Mm-hmm. I thought the whole building was coming down around my ears. Most quakes I just enjoy. Say, oh, that's a pretty good joke. 5.2, whatever. That's,
when I'm in the country, I do that. I enjoy them. Uh-huh. You just get that adrenaline rush. Wow, but
absolutely.
If I was in the city in an elevator on a stairwell, it would have been much different. You know,
Of course. Yeah.
Definitely. I got a question for you here real quick and everything. I've really studied earthquakes and stuff in the United States for quite a while and everything, and during this BP oil spill and everything, and I found out that this Machado Well, as they call it and everything, is right at the end of the Madrid fault line. What do you see happening there? What's happening? Because I knew in the 1800s in the Midwest there they had an earthquake that went right up, and actually from my studies and everything made the Mississippi run backwards.
Yeah, it was essentially a sash wave because of the giant waves in the ground did cause the Mississippi to flow backwards. And understand there was an early version of a steamboat coming down the Ohio River, and it just entered the Mississippi, and all of a sudden it found itself back on the Ohio River.
Oh, wow.
There were rapids in the Mississippi, and a number of Indian canoes and mm-hmm. rafts and everything tumbled over these cascades. A number of Indian villages were inundated,
yep.
And so when the experts say almost nobody died, well, they were not counting Indians, of course.
Well, they usually don't.
That's right.
I can say that from experience.
Yes. So that quake occurred on the 16th of December in late 1811, which was the day after the new moon.
Mm-hmm.
And early reports indicate that it was unusually warm. That must have been coming up from the Gulf of Mexico, a warm current or something, because it was unusually warm for December 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next equally big one was on, January, coming in right now, I think the 16th, and then February 8th. There were three great earthquakes,
mm-hmm.
huge, and they were felt, rang bells in Boston, you may have heard, felt
yes.
all up and down the East Coast.
As a matter of fact, I did,
so those
yeah.
were incredibly strong, and one must realize that the rocks in the middle of the North America and on the East Coast are much more, they're older and they're more solid than what we found out here on the West Coast, where you have all these volcanic rocks and
very true.
Basins filled with alluvium. So it shakes longer and stronger here.
Mm-hmm. We're also close to the Yellowstone, the super volcano,
which has been getting more active lately. As
also,
a matter of fact.
Right, and so
yes, and
that,
I can't ignore the super volcano that was in the Mammoth Lakes.
That's right. That's the one I'm
caldera.
Watching. That's the one I'm watching right now. I've been kind of watching that activity for probably about the last 10, 12 years.
Good.
And it really, I'm kind of watching that area a little more now since this Southern California quake action.
You should. Remember the 6.5s, they had about three of them down there in 1980?
Yeah.
Right after the major eruption of Mount St. Helens.
Exactly. Right after it. And that's uh-huh. that's connected, definitely.
Not coincidental, yeah.
No.
And another thing that really troubled me, I came back to the Valley of the Moon here, where I was raised, in 1997. And within a year, there were a whole series of quakes up in Mammoth Lakes,
mm-hmm.
and they had a number of instruments installed, and they observed there had been a sudden rising of the caldera, the old caldera.
Right.
And then it dropped drastically. The rise was shown on graphs.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was going up, 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 and all of a sudden, they canceled it all and said, don't believe that. It was just a matter of the snow, snow melting.
Right.
Well, it turns out when they changed that graph and dropped that previous information, there was no way there was snow melting. There was an unusually late storm in like Memorial Day, and it was a buildup of the snowpack. And if they said it was a result of the melting of the snow, why didn't that happen in any other previous year?
Yeah.
They had been burnt by essentially predicting that there was a serious problem up there in the Mammoth Lakes because of the 6.5 quakes,
mm-hmm.
and they were warning people to be on alert in case there had to be an evacuation. They put in a special road for evacuating the area, and there was such a negative result from the from their tourist business and the realtors that the USGS backed off on their whole predictions.
I believe one thing in this whole scheme of things that are going on. When you start predicting things and it starts affecting their tourist industry and everything, I know without a doubt you've had a lot of pressure put on you before to not give your predictions. You know, it seems like we're trying to, why hide from the truth? I'd rather save thousands, you know, 100 or 1,000 or more people from something happening and be wrong than I would to turn around and listen to you and say, oh, this ain't going to happen, and go into the air and blam.
You're so right. Now, in 1979, I got a clue, just a little flash of inspiration, that I wonder if it really happened that only a few hundred people died in 1906 in San Francisco, because that's what we were always taught, and as my college professor, I passed it along to my students.
I think it's more.
And then I went back to some of the old newspapers. I found five living survivors that I tape recorded. They all believe that thousands had died. And for the first couple of days in the newspapers, they said thousands died. And all of a sudden, Teddy Roosevelt and Mayor Schmitz and the governor, Mayor General
they had their meeting.
Greeley, they all said, oh, there's been much fewer. A few people died here, and those that did mostly were died from the fire, which they moved out away from. Totally a lie. But it did allow them to rapidly rebuild the city, restore confidence, allow insurance to be set up again. But it wasn't until I couldn't publish on this. I discovered this in 79, 80, and nobody wanted to believe it. Jim, we have the true numbers. And I said, oh, do you like the 315 or the 452 or the 478 or the 498 deaths, which were all indicated in the old books? And I said, how about 5 or 10,000? Well, in 1989, the city historian published a book called Denial of Disaster, Gladys Hansen, working with the police.
That was a good book.
And in there she says at least 3,000 had died. And in the 100th anniversary of the 1906 quake, she said probably 5,000 or more died, which was getting up to where I would have been saying since 1979, 80.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's difficult to get the truth out there if there's a strong
political motivation.
Yes, and the economic motivation, which is often the same thing.
Actually, in that case, it was with San Francisco. It was the major West Coast seat of power, and everything besides Sacramento. But economically, it was the big dog.
Absolutely, it was twice the size of the population of Los Angeles.
Yeah,
and you know. It happened in Easter Vacation, and the Navy was in town, and so it was a big time and party time and all, and it was just unimaginably devastating, and maybe now, seeing what's happened in Japan, I can appreciate what happened in San Francisco.
Do you think there's going to be more Japan-type earthquakes here in the near future?
Talk about nines, very rare. Of course, we had the 8.8 in Chile last year.
Yeah, they seem to be on the rise.
Uh-huh. Well, last year we had 23 major quakes of at least 7 magnitude. Very, very unusual. The average number is about 14 or 15. There were only 9 in 1989 when the World Series quake hit. But I would say it's definitely picking up, and it may relate to the increasing solar activity.
There you go.
Which has been very quiet for about 4 years. And we've had 2 X-rated flares.
That's right.
This month. I
figured so we were talking me and on the radio, another radio show that I did over the last week or so, and I guesstimated that after these last prominences we had, we'd have a 14-day period where we had some X flares and they hit.
Yep.
And I believe that the sun has a lot.
Well, 1989, there was an X-13 2 days after the World Series quake.
Right.
And in 1984. We had the 6.2 down by Gilroy on the day of an X-13. These are pretty rare flares.
Yeah.
And with the Eureka quake of November 8th of 1980 was the day of an X-9.
Yeah.
Just coincidence, of course.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, we can sit here and laugh about this. It's really funny when you have other individuals out there that got all the PhDs and everything. Oh, this can't possibly happen. And then somebody like you or me or Nate or Chandler comes along and says, well, we see these other factors. Let's factor them and see what happens. And then bam, 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 the accuracy goes up 70, 75, 80%.
Well, I was working at as a hospital technician just out of junior college here before I'd gone back to get my geologic degree. In 1957, when the San Francisco Daly City quake hit of 5.3, and I thought the local little old hotel where I'd worked for many years was blowing up from a gas explosion or something because the P wave hit, and I headed for the door, and all of a sudden the S complex wave hit. And the neighboring field, which is still there, a nice pasture just across the road from my home, was undulating up and down about a foot and a half, 18 inches or so. And when I went to work for the USGS after getting out of Berkeley, I told them about that, and they said, Jim, that was an optical illusion. The ground only moved a few inches. I said, I saw clearly. It was like a rough ocean.
That's what I see.
Yeah. So the high science has been coming around to the truth on a number of things. One, can one big quake trigger another? Oh, and it used to totally deny it until the Landers and Big Bear duo.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had said, I had predicted, I was on the state geologist list to be, I was about number seven to become a state geologist.
Mm-hmm.
And I made perhaps the mistake of saying I thought the Oroville earthquake had something to do with the Oroville Dam. And immediately I was rejected.
Yeah.
And the following year the seismologist said, there seems to be a relationship because the aftershocks went right under the dam.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It also caused a huge change in the eruption cycle of the Calistoga Geyser, Old Faithful Geyser of California.
Mm-hmm.
It normally erupts every 40 minutes, but before that 5.9 of Oroville, it didn't erupt for 2 hours and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And before the Eureka quake, it didn't erupt for 3 hours and 12 minutes, which still stands as the all-time record for that geyser.
I understand. You know, it really makes kind of common sense that one earthquake could shake loose another area where you could have another earthquake. I mean, common sense, your average person would think that, you know. And I think sometimes people might have too much education where they can't see the common facts in front of them.
Oh, my. And then they remember they are a product of their own training and their old professors having very clear biases in different subjects.
Yeah, and if you turn around and try to jump those biases, of course, then you don't get that position, as you well know.
Uh-huh. I went at the USGS library, and I told the librarian years ago, I said, after all, a college education is a means of, let's see, brainwashing.
Yes, I agree to a large degree. You know, we got about, 3 minutes left on the show here? I'd like you to talk to people real quick on what they can do, what you see happening
with your website.
And your website, your basic information for yourself, and what we can see here in, let's say, in the next couple of years, if you can.
Well, I have it all outlined for the coming year. I've looked at the maximum tidal force, and I know April is going to be tough also, 17th to 25th. It'll be fairly quiet until September, and I'm looking at... there'll be another, what's called a perigean spring tide, when the perigee from the moon is on the same day as the newer full moon. In this case, in September, it'll be the new moon, and October will be the same. So this is, during this year, we have five incidents of perigean spring tides, and that's the maximum possible.
Okay.
It can be as little as two. Perigean spring tide.
And this
so
is
this
when
is
things...
a huge one right now through the 26th, and I'm still expecting to hear about a 5+ in Southern California and a 4+ around the Bay Area.
Okay, Jim, my producer told me we're getting close here. Go ahead and give out your website and any information, personal information.
Okay, Syzygy Job, Syzygy, which means aligning up the sun, moon, earth, and then you attach to that my initials, Job. So SyzygyJob.com. And I must point out that my webmaster left me about a year ago, and so the front page information is dated. But go to forum, F-O-U-R-U-M, where all my latest predictions and information from other posters is all current. And you'll see a lot of things about animals and other aspects of magnetic field changes and that sort of thing.
Okay.
They can go to the book about me, The Man Who Predicts Earthquakes, Jim Berkland, a maverick geologist by...
Okay. Unfortunately, Jim, we just ran out of time and everything, and I have to let you go, but I'm totally glad to have you on the show, and we would like to have you on the show again in the future, especially we're going to go into more time, hopefully, here one day soon. And thank you very much.
Right.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jim Berkland, and he's obviously on top of the thing. We'd like to thank our sponsors once again, Advanced Soil Stabilization, using Technisoil for dust control on roads, driveways, and parking lots. They also install Crestone driveways. Call Todd Sykes for more information at 530-549-4801. Advanced Soil is green-friendly, and also Team Quest. Don't forget them. Get out there and learn how to kick a little butt.
Yeah, call him at 646-7346.
And with that said, this is White Grilling White Crow of Sovereign Minds Radio, opening one mind at a time.
Resistance is victory. Defeat is impossible. Your weapons are already in hand. Reach within you and find the means by which to gain your freedom. Fight with tools. Your fate and that of everyone you know depends on it.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Regal. In Libya, an early morning coalition airstrike has hit Muammar Gaddafi's compound.
The compound has been struck. U.S. officials telling us it was not U.S. missiles this time that targeted the compound.
Fox's Jennifer Griffith reporting, it appears a four-story building in the Gaddafi compound has been heavily damaged. The coalition says the compound, however, was not deliberately targeted. Operation Odyssey Dawn began more than a day and a half ago.
I think you've got three important milestones to take a look at since this conflict began. For one, Gaddafi has dropped out of sight. It appears to be he's on the run or certainly in hiding as the leader. Two, you haven't seen any government jets or helicopters fly since this attack began, so this no-fly zone is in large effect already operational. And three, the Gaddafi government advance of forces on the rebel stronghold in Benghazi has halted.
Fox's Steve Harrigan in Libya. Even as